This is PGI. Please stand by. We're about to begin. Good day, everyone, and welcome to the Pacific Edge conference call. Today's call is being recorded. At this time, I'd like to turn the conference over to the Pacific Edge CEO, David Darling. Please go ahead.
Thank you, moderator. Welcome to the 2014-2015 Pacific Edge half-year results conference call. Joining me today is a new member of our team at Pacific Edge, Kate Rankin, our Chief Financial Officer. Welcome, Kate. Pacific Edge has entered its first full year of trading in the US, and we have seen a strong start to the first two quarters in both the New Zealand and US markets. Our revenue has grown in the first half to provide us with a total revenue of $1.5 million, which is up 773% on last year. $500,000 of this is interest and FX gains, and $1 million is our trading revenue. The trading revenue consists of $714,000 of our commercial and user program tests, and we're very pleased with our performance in this half. This year, we have seen a combined laboratory throughput grow by 93% from last quarter of 2014 to the first quarter of 2015, and by 154% from Q1 to Q2 of 2015. This metric of our growth is designed to provide a yardstick of our performance and consists of both user study tests and commercial sales. As we progress through this year, we will have more extensive laboratory performance information to share with you at year end. As you all know, the US is our key market and will drive the majority of our revenue as we go forward. In the US, our sales executive team expanded from 4 at the end of the last financial year through to 12 on the ground in August and September of this year. The sales team are focused on 11 of the 19 sales regions. During the year, we have achieved many of our key objectives. Firstly, with the signing of MultiPlan, the last of the big four national provider networks, or as we call them, NPNs. And whilst we'll continue to add NPNs and regional provider networks, RPNs, our focus over this first half has been on our large target customers, the large urology group practices, or as we call them, LUGs, and other large urology practices, the integrated healthcare providers, and the Veterans Administration. Another of our key objectives was the signing of Kaiser Permanente to a user program. This in itself is a major achievement, as Kaiser has many suitors that vie for their internal research and development resources, and of course they will select those that have the greatest potential to add value to their business. So it was great to be able to achieve this outcome. Kaiser is expected to start recruitment of approximately 2,000 patients within the next few months in their user program, and we'd expect a conclusion of this user program in 2015. An expected successful outcome of this user program will be a prerequisite to moving this relationship into a full commercial program. And at this stage, we have no specifics on what the shape of this commercial relationship will be. And obviously, we'll be working on that over the next 6 months or so. In the last 6 months, we have successfully completed two independent validation studies with the Waitemata and Canterbury District Health Boards, both returning results that support the clinical study findings. We have launched our Cxbladder e-commerce site, a radical move in the normally quite staid medical community, and so very much a first both for the company and for the medical community. We sold our first test within an hour of the launch, which was great to see. Sales are progressing, but numbers are quite small to date. We expect to see urologists and other physicians purchasing Cxbladder tests online for their practices using this platform. The e-commerce platform will become one of the resources available to patients through the patient community, which is being developed for bladder cancer patients. Pacific Edge is the cornerstone sponsor of this site, and we expect to see other key organisations coming on board next year to support and sponsor this site. Pull from patients is seen by us as a key element in building the market penetration, particularly in the US, where patients have considerable say and considerable ability to draw through. Looking forward, we'll be focusing on growing our revenue base in all of our markets, and in particular the US. We expect to be working closely with the Centre for Medicare and Medicaid Services, CMS, to obtain approval for their reimbursement program. We'll continue to grow the market awareness with attendance at the urologist conferences and expand the provider network base into the regional networks and add more large urology practices as core customers. We would also expect our partner in Spain to start their business and our Australian customer base to grow. We will continue to progress the evaluation of Southeast Asia and as our next target markets for the Cxbladder family. For this first half, our balance sheet and cash flows reflect the growth of our business. They are as planned and are indicative of the attainment of our goals. We continue to achieve our expansion goals whilst keeping firm control of our cash burn. We are a lean growth company. Adding new tests to the Cxbladder family is one of the key opportunities to grow our business. We will add a new test in December this year as Cxbladder Triage, a product that is sought by a number of customers in New Zealand and the US. This product is of particular value to integrated healthcare providers such as Kaiser, hospitals, clinics and payers, and all those who take a holistic view of cancer detection and management costs. We will launch another Cxbladder test during 2015 to continue to build our one-stop shop offering to urologists, healthcare providers and payers. This will be the third product in our family of Cxbladder products. So the remainder of 2014-2015 looks to be a strong year for us, and we certainly look forward to growing Pacific Edge's revenue in 2015 and 2016 as a follow-on. So thank you for all those that have joined the call. Moderator, could you please open to the floor for questions?
Thank you. If you'd like to ask for questions, please press star followed by the number one on your telephone keypad and wait for your name to be announced. Your first question comes to the line of Simon Hartley from Otago Daily Times. Your line is open. Please go ahead.
Hi, David. Congratulations on the result.
Thanks, Simon. That's great.
Very goodly. Hey, you're talking about, as you said, keep the cash burn firmly under control, and that you have cash for the medium term in one of the releases earlier this morning. When you talk about medium term, how far out is that? Cash available for how long?
As at the end of the half year, Simon, we had $14.7 million in cash, and our expected burn is of the same order as last year. And similarly for the following year. So, there's more than enough cash in there as planned for the over that planned horizon.
Yeah, what date is that horizon, though? You want to work that out? That could be 2.5 years.
Yeah, no, that's for the remainder of this year and all of next year.
Okay, for 1.8. And any full-year guidance available today?
No, we won't be providing any full-year guidance at this point, Simon.
Okay. Would you like to repeat this first half or better it?
We would. That would be great. We're on track to meet our expectations. So.
Okay. Any thoughts yet on when you could be booking a profit? What financial year you'd be going into there? Two or three years away.
We can't make a call on that at this point in time, Simon.
Mm-hmm. And just lastly, where does China sit in with the expectations of focusing on the Southeast Asian market at the moment?
Sorry, could you repeat that question?
Where does China sit in the scheme of focusing on Southeast Asian market in the future?
Yes, well, China's really Central Asia, and so it's kind of outside the remit that we've given ourselves at the moment. But China's a very big and difficult to deal with a country. It's got a lot of promise and a lot of potential. And one of the ways that you can gain access to China is through Taiwan. Taiwan has a new economic relationship that enables closer economic relationships to occur with China. And if we start to build our business into Taiwan, well, that will open up China in years to come.
Okay, very good. And this will be the last question. you're talking about your sales group growing from 4 to 12. Can we expect there to be 24 at the end of the year?
No, we've targeted 12 for this year, Simon, mm-hmm. and then we'll reevaluate our progress with these people. Obviously, we have 19 sales regions, and our goal will be to progress to having sales representatives in those 19 sales regions.
Excellent. That's great. Thank you, David. And, yeah, that's it. Thanks, Kate.
Thanks, Simon.
Your next question comes to the line of Chelsea Ledbetter from Forsyth Barr. Your line is open. Please go ahead.
Thanks, moderator. Morning, Dave. Just a couple of questions from me. Firstly, you mentioned in the release or the presentation about potentially working towards being accepted into the standard of care in New Zealand. What do you sort of need to get to be able to achieve that?
Thanks, Chelsea. The standard of care is we're working with the National Health Council to build an understanding, a dossier of the performance of CX Bladder to the standard that the National Health Council would see as providing the level of support and evidence necessary to go forward. So we're not quite sure what that will end up being, but we've been working with them now steadily for about a year. And our goal to get onto the standard of care is, of course, to remove the he who pays problem that you've often come across when you deal with the government-funded institutions.
Okay, so am I right in assuming that won't happen in the next year or so then?
No, it could well happen sooner than that, but we don't know for sure. I mean, we're being used as the guinea pig for the system, New Zealand system, to, I guess, take and adopt new medical technology at a rapid rate. So we're first up. So there's, you know, it could be a little longer than they would expect the process to normally take, but everybody's feeling their way.
Okay, thank you. Other question around some of the user programs that are currently underway in some of the markets. Could you give us an idea on perhaps the average length of how long these are taking or expected to take?
Sure, can do. The user programs take two main forms, a user program evaluation, which can be 25 tests, and that's usually an opportunity for the urologist to understand how the technology can fit within their program. They often have made, a commitment to adopt this technology, and they want to see how it fits in before they make their final decision. So 25 tests can be relatively short. It can take, depending on what size of practice they have and which particular value proposition they would like to target with the technology. So once again, it's a variable amount of time, but it could be as short as 3 months, but it could be as long as 9 months even to recruit the 25 patients that they would wish to evaluate this test on. So yeah, it's very dependent on the type of patients. And then it travels through to the user programs that are what we call user program studies, and these are much more formal user programs. And they're often user programs that are associated with the larger groups, such as the LUGs. These LUGs can often have their own research groups, and as such, it'll involve a formal protocol development and IRB ethics approval before we start the test. So they can run out to 12 months to even 15 months to get those completed before they embark on their adoption process.
Okay, thank you. And final question for me, really, if I think about triage as the next product in line, if I'm thinking about the US market in particular, are you expecting it to take a similar time frame to what you've seen with Detect, or should this one be a little bit quicker as you've already sort of got some relationships with urologists in that market?
Yeah, very, very good question. We asked that question ourselves, and some of the customers are expected to transition across to CXBladder Triage because that's the value proposition that they would like to see the test being, the technology being used on. Others, if it's a large organisation, they're going to want to run their own user program to see how this technology fits. And I think the classic case there would be Kaiser Permanente. And obviously Kaiser, are a customer for CXBladder Triage. That's where they see it adding most value to their business.
Okay, great. Thanks for that, Dave. And congratulations on the result.
Thanks, Chelsea. Thank you very much.
Just as a final reminder, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star one. Your next question comes from the line of Andrew Boland from Salt Fund Management. Your line is open. Please go ahead.
Thank you. G'day, David. Hey, I was just interested in your comment around the commercial partnerships in Spain expected to start soon. I know we've spoken about this in the past and sort of around some of the difficulties you've encountered there. So just interested in what's changed and how that's looking around that partnership.
Sure. Pretty much the same drivers there, Andrew. They have chosen a value proposition that requires a specific data set to be collected. So we're working with those guys to get that done. Ideally, we would have liked to have seen them to lead out with sex bladder detect in a conventional application, because sex bladder detect can, you know, provide a very good outcome for a number of those value propositions. But they've identified a particular value proposition that their key opinion leader, a urologist in Spain, would like to lead with. And so it's taken quite some time to get that data together and get that underway. Just recently, that organization has split itself into two. They've split their therapeutic business out from their diagnostic business, and that's created a little bit of, a dissonance in terms of time in getting those transitions completed. So there's a little bit of a delay there as well. So they remain very, very good partners. They have all the capability to transition onto this test, and we are looking forward to having them start.
Okay, cheers. And just in terms of you're mentioning about Southeast Asia today, and obviously following on from the European patent yesterday, understanding that these are sort of medium to long things, Southeast Asia is ahead of the European sort of expansion, to your mind?
Yes, it is. Southeast Asia offers us a great opportunity. They are generally, we would regard them as quick adopters. We also enter, you know, the Southeast Asian arena with a product that is a lot more advanced from a regulatory perspective and a commercial extension perspective, so they can relate to it in a lot more, complete framework. So we're finding that our market is very strong. It's very interested. Obviously, Southeast Asia have set themselves up to be a big cornerstone provider to medical tourists. And as such, that's in a particularly attractive opportunity for all people who would like to get into Southeast Asia. So a very live and very real opportunity for the company, and it certainly is streets ahead of any rollout into Europe.
Yeah, thanks, Dave.
Thanks.
It appears as though that we have no further questions.
All right, thank you.
Okay, just to let you know, we've now got two late questions. One of them is from Adrian Vance from Forsyth Barr. Your line is open. Please go ahead.
Hi, morning, David. Well then, David, just quickly, could you just give us a little bit more detail around the CMS timing and approvals in your mind, and also regarding the published or journals that are required in order to support something like this? Do you feel that you're still on track with the application on that?
Thanks, Adrian. Good questions. Yes, I mean, the CMS, I think it's probably good to point out here that this is not a piece of paper that you fill out like you might have to do for a federal supply schedule. You have to interact with these people and walk with them on a path that they prescribe. And that path is iterative, so they can change up the path as they see fit. So they require you to put together a dossier and then engage with them. And when they're happy that they have all the answers they require, then they will give you a pass on your driver license, and you'll move ahead. So as everybody should know, the approval for CMS, Centre for Medicare and Medicaid Services, is the public insurer. And the public insurer, we are able to provide tests and technology to people who are insured under the CMS. That's all people in the United States who are over the age of 65 would be eligible for CMS, not necessarily all take that opportunity up. However, we can provide this technology to those people, and we can keep those invoices and submit them at a later stage when we have attained our coverage from the CMS. So we've engaged with the CMS, we're working with them, we're preparing all of the bits and pieces for them, and we're on track and we're very happy, and they're happy.
So is the KP trial, is that going to form basis for that application, or is there supporting evidence already in relation to the CX bladder?
No, we won't need the KP user program data for that purpose.
Right. And then final question from me, obviously just looking to reaffirm the five-year plan that has been talked about. Take it you're still on track for 100 million revenue within that five-year period?
Yes, we are. Thanks, Adrian. We firmly believe that that's a very doable target, and we'll be pushing very hard to ensure that we attain that.
Good luck. Thank you.
Thanks, Adrian. Cheers.
We have a follow-up question from Chelsea Ledbetter from Forsyth Barr. Your line is open. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Just a follow-up question from me, Dave. After Andrew's question around Spain, would you be able to provide us a bit more colour around the Australian market and how that's progressing?
Sure. The Australian market, we have a co-exclusive relationship with Healthscope, and we particularly wanted a relationship in Australia because we needed to have a large pathologist to help us with gaining access to the public purse. So it was always a long-term strategic relationship with a pathologist in Australia, and we chose Healthscope particularly because they were the largest healthcare provider, they were the second largest PATH company, and they had a very strong appetite for molecular diagnostics. They've been through an inordinate number of changes from being delisted and held privately to being relisted, several changes and swaps of various sales components out of their business, and they've struggled to get what we would have thought was a progressive rate into the Australian market. So we have the opportunity under our co-exclusive to supplement or directly engage in that market, and we're going through right now a process of identifying other partners to take our technology into Australia, and we're actively working ourselves. We've just signed up two large user programs in Australia, and we're looking for a third fairly shortly.
Okay, great. Thank you very much for that, Dave.
Thanks, Chelsea.
It appears as though that we have no further questions. I'd like to hand the call back to David for any additional or closing remarks.
Thank you, moderator. So, yes, I'd just like to reiterate that last point that we are very excited about the rest of this year and looking forward to growing out our revenue in 2015-2016. It's an exciting time for us, and particularly as I've commented to a number of you, it's challenging for a company to build a product of this nature and take it into the market. They're quite revolutionary products, but it is outstanding to put two products into the market, and by the end of next year we will have three. So we're very delighted by the progress of the company. And that ends the commentary from my perspective. Thank you, moderator.
That concludes today's conference. Thank you all for your participation. You may all disconnect.